You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Friday, May 30th. The 1980s movie The Goonies helped put a small city on Oregon's north coast on the map for people around the world. Fan visits to a popular house featured in the film are expected to surge next week as Astoria celebrates the movie's 40th anniversary. KMUN's Katie Frankowitz reports on what organizers are doing to prepare fans and locals alike.
A lot of people in town were here and were extras and stuff like that. Yeah.
I love that with my kids.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Love that. Yeah.
Nearly every day, Sarah Moot and Peter Aiken field questions about the Goonies. They own Astoria Coffee Company, a small batch coffee roaster located in the same neighborhood as the Goonies house. And in case there is any confusion about where you are, the shop is decked out with Goonies gear, magnets, mugs, shirts.
We really love all the people that come here for it. You know, they're always like so happy to be here. It's like pilgrimages for them. And we had one guy from Soviet era Poland who was like, it had been his life dream to come here. So they're all usually very nice and very happy.
Goonies Birthday Bash events start on Thursday and span the weekend. There will be costume contests, bus tours, art exhibits, self-guided treasure hunts, and sold-out panel discussions with some of the cast and crew, and more. Actors Corey Feldman, who played the character Mouth, and Cary Green, who played Andy, are among the special guests. Organizers expect to see heavy visitation at the Clatsop County Historical Society's Oregon Film Museum. The historic county jail in downtown Astoria that houses the museum was memorably featured in the movie. But everyone knows the Goonies house will take a big chunk of center stage. In the neighborhood around the house, there has long been a complicated relationship with Goonies fandom and the attention it brings to what would otherwise be another quiet corner of Astoria. Mac Burns is the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society that operates the Oregon Film Museum and has been in charge of organizing the Goonies' 40th anniversary celebration. With the fraught history of the Goonies House neighborhood in mind, Burns hosted a neighborhood meeting ahead of the Goonies weekend.
Obviously, with signature things happening in Astoria, there are going to be a lot of people here. Definitely the neighborhood around the Goonies House is always concerned, and they're definitely an impact on the folks that live in that neighborhood, so we're trying to mitigate that as much as possible.
The main streets leading to the narrow side road that goes up to the Goonies House will be closed to local access only. Bus tours will take people to the area, there will be extra trash cans, porta-potties, and other measures to ease the burden on locals and provide a good experience for fans. For superfan Bayman Zachary, this will be the first major anniversary celebration he's participated in since he bought the Goonies house in 2023 with the stated intent of making it more accessible to fans.
Some people save all year so they can afford to bring them, their spouse, their kids, just to pay pilgrimage to this house. And they're all smiles. They got a welcoming owner. Me, my family, my friends, our neighbors have poured so much heart and soul into that house so it can be the nostalgic cultural landmark that it's meant to be.
Astoria City Councilor Vance Lump represents the Uppertown neighborhood where the Goonies house is located. He's heard a number of reactions from his constituents ahead of the anniversary celebration.
There were some people who were really excited about it, some people who hated it, but more often people were like, if it's managed well enough, then, you know, it's going to be fine.
Newer signs telling people where to park and how to access the driveway to the Goonies house have helped ease some issues over the years. But Lump says,
I think the issue needs to be actively managed because it is something that's just going to keep happening. People love this movie. The house is owned by a huge fan of the movie who encourages visitors, so that's not going to change anytime soon as far as I can tell.
Burns agrees. He says there is an enduring appeal to the movie. And as anyone who has seen the movie can tell you, Goonies never say die. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
As a timber sale east of Astoria moves forward, communication concerns from neighboring property owners have reemerged. The 168-acre Davis Ridge clear-cut timber harvest was approved by the Oregon Department of Forestry's Astoria District last July. Residents adjacent to Davis Ridge were sent letters last year from District Forester Dan Goody outlining a sale timeline. Goody also committed to meet with landowners who had expressed the desire to do so. Residents say they were under the impression that they'd be hearing more from district staff as the sale progressed, but they say that never happened. After requesting an update last month, the residents learned that the site had already been sold to Stimson Lumber. Terry Henry owns a property in Brownsmead adjacent to Davis Ridge. He was one of a handful of residents to testify at a State Board of Forestry meeting in April about the new developments at the site. The Board of Forestry does not have jurisdiction over timber sales, but it does play a role in listening to public comment and relaying concerns. Each year, the state relies on timber sales to generate revenue for forest management, fire departments, and school districts. The Oregon Department of Forestry says staffing challenges have limited local districts' ability to reach out to residents. Denise Moore also owns a property in Brownsmead, next to Davis Ridge. She and others say they still have concerns about impacts of clear-cutting and potential on-the-ground pesticide application on the watershed. Moore does acknowledge that landowners have more consistently been receiving email updates on roadwork for the sale. Davis Ridge is moving forward despite hundreds of comments and online petition signatures against it. And Moore says, to her, it makes public comment feel like just a formality. Logging at the site is tentatively planned to begin in the summer of 2026. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Some salmon numbers in Washington have gotten better, but many are still struggling. That's according to a new report by the Salmon Recovery Office. NWPB's senior environmental correspondent Courtney Flatt explains.
Of Washington's 14 salmon and steelhead populations listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act, 8 are edging closer to extinction. The report noted modest improvements of 4 of the listed species. The fish face lots of predators, pollution, and blocked habitat. According to the report, climate change is also a problem. Katie Knight Pruitt is with the Salmon Recovery Office. She says the state is working to help.
Like habitat restoration, where we focus on let's remove obstacles in those waterways, put in the type of vegetation that's going to give the water some shading and help filter pollutants.
Pruitt says more funding is still needed. That's a growing problem with budget cuts and soaring construction costs. I'm Courtney Flatt.
A section of Miami Foley Road in Tillamook County will be closed today from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. The full closure is at Dry Creek, as crews work to replace the existing Dry Creek culvert with a new bridge. Anyone planning to travel through Miami Foley Road today should detour around the closure using Highway 101. A single lane of the road will reopen by 5 p.m. this evening. After today, expect crews to be working with a single lane open and a temporary traffic signal. In the coming days and weeks, crews plan to work further north on Miami Foley Road at Crystal Creek, so more closures may be necessary. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.